Dave Wilson remembers having a very strained relationship with his father once his parents got a divorce.
When he would come up, it would usually get ugly. He would drink. It would get loud. I'd go hide in the bedroom, wait till it was over, till the storm cleared. So that was my experience with my dad. I remember that in middle school, then high school. And then I hated this. Right after the divorce, 7, 8, 9 years old, I, for whatever reason, had to go see my dad at Christmas. And I would fly to Miami, Florida on Christmas morning.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. Growing up in a home where mom and dad divorce will have a lot of ramifications for how we relate to one another as we get older. We'll hear more about that from Dave Wilson today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. Well, you guys have you've not been at this all that long, but it's become very clear that, at least with you, Dave, you need a counseling session. And so...
It's never Ann, is it?
Yep. No.
Has my wife been talking to you, Bob? Ann.
I am very excited about this session. It is going to be a counseling session.
This is not going to be a counseling session. I don't do that. I've already done that, actually.
Yeah, you have done
it. I'm all good.
It.
I'm perfect
but
now.
But there's always more, honey. There's always more.
Oh, I love this dynamic.
I think this is an intervention. That's what this is.
Here's what it is.
It's an ambush.
We have got our friend Ron Deal, who's joining us today. Welcome, Ron.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Ron gives leadership to Family Life Blended and is pretty excited about what's coming up here in 3 or 4 weeks, the Blended and Blessed event that's going to be taking place.
It's our annual live stream event that can be viewed from anywhere in the world, which is an amazing. Think about it. All day programming, music, worship, speakers, topics specifically addressing marriage and parenting in the blended family. Mm. Dave and Ann Wilson will be among our speakers.
Oh, I like that. You guys are going to this.
We are looking forward to it.
Who else is going to be speaking?
Well, one of the other speakers is Rob Boo, who is senior pastor of Wheaton Bible Church in Chicago. And Rob is part of a blended family and brings a great deal of maturity to the conversation. And so we're looking forward to it. Our theme, by the way, is going to be keeping in step with the Spirit. A little pun there, keeping in step, talking about the fruits of the Spirit and how we live that out in a blended family.
And this takes place, it originates in Minneapolis, but churches and living rooms and
cell
personal
phones,
computers all around the world, people are going to be watching this.
That's correct. Very easy to be a part of that. Your church can host it for a nominal fee. You can watch it for even less as an individual couple. You can have couples in your living room if you want. Lots of ways to participate.
So go to familylifetoday.com if you want more information about the upcoming Blended and Blessed event. What's the date?
April 27th, Saturday.
Saturday, April 27th. And again, information's available at familylifetoday.com. And as we said, you guys are going to be speaking, and part of the reason you're speaking at this event is because, Dave, this is a part of your history.
This is a big part of my history, and it's actually something I haven't talked a lot about. That's why Ann's so excited to, to dig into this. But yeah, it's, you know, when I was 7 years old, my family sort of blew up, and that's where it all started.
Well, I'm going to push back and just turn things over to you, Ron, and let you guide the conversation as we kind of unpack what the dynamic was for you, Dave, growing up, and then how it impacted your relationship once you got married.
You know, I want to tell our listeners the reason we're spending time talking about this is because, you know, Dave doesn't have a unique experience. Currently, right now in the U.S., 10 to 20% of children have a step-parent. About 1/3 of all kids will have a step-parent before they turn age 18. And the estimate is, the prediction is that 50% of all Americans will have a step-parent at some point in their lifetime, right? So this is not a unique experience. It's a very common experience. And so one of the things we like to do is help raise the awareness of parents, of step-parents, but also friends, family, grandparents, people who love and care for somebody in a blended family situation so that you can become more aware of how to help, how to encourage someone in a step-family. And so I appreciate Dave's willingness to talk about this.
Me too. And I'm appreciating this too.
And you know, Ann, your assignment for a little while here.
Oh, shoot. I have an assignment.
You do.
Darn.
I'm going to come back to you in a little bit.
Okay.
And what I want you to be doing is, as Dave and I talk, is I want you to just be listening for some themes that you can now recognize impact your marriage. Because we all know that life in our family of origin leaves a little residue, most of it positive, every once in a while, some of it not so great, that we carry with us into our adult relationships. And so we're going to be talking about both childhood and how that connects to the present.
Ooh, I better get a pen.
You know, she already knows. I've heard this for decades.
Yes.
What the themes are. So maybe there'll be a new one or two today.
Let's just start with the story a little bit. You mentioned, I think it was when you were seven, your mom and dad split up.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, it's the early 60s. And, you know, back then, I honestly don't remember a divorced family. I know in my elementary school, I was the only kid in the classroom, 35 kids with not a dad at home. Different day to day, but that was very unique. We lived in New Jersey at the time. I was born there. My dad was an airline pilot with Eastern Airlines. Anybody old enough in this room remember Eastern?
I do remember,
sadly,
them.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it was interesting at that time, even though I was very young, I didn't appreciate it, but we were sort of a wealthy family. He actually built homes on the side in a gated community in New Jersey and flew out of New York. And so I grew up sort of in a big house with two older brothers and a sister. They were actually 10 to 12 to 14 years older than me, and then a little brother about a year and a half younger than me. And, you know, at that time, you would have looked at our family. The Wilsons were like the perfect American family.
From the outside, it looked really good.
Yeah. Really, really good. Wealthy and nice home. And again, gated community. And it just looked like a perfect marriage. And I actually sort of thought that as a little kid, because it's interesting, I blocked a lot of this out. It's hard sometimes to even remember, but I do remember fights, yelling, a lot of alcohol. I remember my brothers taking me and my sister away from the family room upstairs to get away from the fights from between mom and dad. And my dad was a drinker, and he wasn't a happy drunk. He was a mean, sort of would get out of control. And that's what I remember as a little boy.
So you had three older siblings and one younger sibling, right?
Yep.
So it was five of you. You're number four in the picture.
My mom called it four jacks and a queen. I remember her saying that growing up,
Good.
And that was four boys and a little girl.
You mentioned from the outside your family looked really good. I wonder, sometimes children's experience of their family prior to a divorce, a breakup, is, we're really good. You remember some hard things, some fights. But looking back, are you one of those kids like you just didn't see it coming?
Oh, I did not see it coming. In fact, the night it happened was Christmas Eve. The whole family went to church. I mean, it's one of these picturesque moments. I can see snow falling, walking in at like the midnight mass type deal. It's probably 10 or 11 o'clock at night. My little brother Craig and I got baptized. That night, the whole family's there. We all come back to the house. Again, big house. We walk in, and while we were gone, Santa had shown up, I thought, and the entire family room is just presents everywhere, more presents than I'd ever seen in my life. And we were told, open them tonight, not tomorrow, tonight. So, of course, you know, a little 5, 6, 7-year-old kid is just ripping things apart, and every gift I could ever imagine we got that year. And you can imagine why. I didn't know. The next morning, Christmas Day, woke up, Dad was gone. And it was his last hurrah. The church service, the baptism, the gifts were sort of see you later. Of course, we woke up Christmas morning, and I can remember sort of asking my mom, where's Dad? And that's when she said, well, he's gone. And of course, I didn't know forever, but eventually I realized, my little brother, he's gone. We didn't really know what the word divorce meant, but eventually that's what it ended up being. We're without a dad.
Do you remember any particular emotions at that point in time? Now, I know you're still making sense of it. You're seven, and it's hard sometimes to make sense of things when you're that age. But looking back, do you remember any particular emotions that stood out?
Again, a lot of it I don't remember. I didn't get angry. I was discouraged. I just remember thinking, in one way, well, he'll be back. He's not gone. But I do remember over time, he didn't come back. And when he did, it was pop in, pop out. And I can remember fights again. It was not a fun moment when he would come in. And I also remember he didn't seem to pay any attention to me and Craig. He was there to talk to my mom, whatever, and go. They were obviously, now I know they're still working through the details of what this is going to look like, but he was off. Hmm. And I found out later he was off with girlfriends. He had mistresses. I didn't know till I was probably 28, 30 years old. I'm looking over at Ann because she was part of the world now, as my sister told me, I don't know if you know this, but Dad used to take you and Craig on vacations with his girlfriends when he was still married to Mom, you know, at 5, 4, 6 years old.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you talking? I didn't remember any of that.
Huh.
But we would go on trips with Dad's mistresses.
And so just real quickly, fast forward to 28, 30 years of age, you find out there's more to the betrayal.
Oh, found out a lot more.
Well, it's interesting, Ron, too, that I think one of the pieces that Dave didn't mention was something that happened to his brother very soon after the divorce.
Yeah, well, the short story was my mom now is a single mom. And again, back in the 60s, not a whole lot of help for her.
Right.
And she's like, how am I going to rebuild my life? Mm-hmm. My two brothers and older sister were off to college and beyond. So they were that much older. So it was really Mom and myself and Craig, and we moved to Ohio. Why Ohio? That's where her parents lived. So we moved to get help and start a new life. And so that's traumatic.
Yes.
Again, that's the only thing I've known is my really nice home.
Mm-hmm.
And so we move, and I do remember the drive. Talk about traumatic. You would think nothing, but at that time, I had a dog I loved, a German Shepherd named Sarge. Somehow he didn't make it to Ohio. And again, I lose my dad, lose the marriage. And then probably, I don't know exact timeline, 3 to 4 months later, we find out Craig has leukemia.
Wow.
And within 6 weeks, he dies.
Wow.
There's no bone marrow transplants back then. It was very quick and obviously traumatic as I walk through the divorce, the move. Now my best friend, my little brother's gone. And it's just Mom and I.
Okay, so let me just recap what I'm hearing. And by the way, Bob, I'll just mention that we have a resource at Family Life called Life in a Blender. Mm-hmm. And it's written for children who are living in a step family to help them make sense of their life and some of the things that they experience. And one of the things that we talk about are the big five emotions. Loss and sadness are two of those. So let's just recap the story that we have so far. Life was one thing prior to Dad leaving. But once he left and the divorce took place, there was a cascade of loss for you.
Yeah.
Different home, different family income level. Mom and Dad are not together. When Dad's back, he's not really tuning into you. You've lost him even when he's there. There's confusion and discouragement. And so move to a new place, lose your dog in the process. And then a huge loss for the family is the loss of your younger brother. I'm just sitting here taking that in from your vantage point. I'm listening to all the transition and the pain that goes along with that and how heavy that is. And I'm also aware that your mother, who is the primary caregiver for you at that point in time, has gone through tremendous, tremendous loss herself.
Right.
I have lost a child, and so I know what that is to be in her shoes, losing a child. To have that on top of loss of our marriage, loss of our family, loss of position, friends, place of work, all the stuff that's wrapped into that, I can't imagine how your mom functioned. So let's go inside that a little bit for you. What was parenting like at that point in your life? What was your relationship with your mom? How did that morph and change? How did you guys survive all of this together?
You know, my mom was everything. Clung to her. She was my security, obviously. I felt like she did the same with me. It was, we only had each other at that point after Craigie was gone. So yeah, I loved her dearly. I always felt loved by her. She was my biggest cheerleader my whole life. But I can, you know, I can remember even as I hit 10 and 12 and 13, just watching the sadness. She was very lonely. Felt that in the home. Wanted to, you know, be there for her, wanted to help her. I remember constantly she would say, you're the man of the house, and I'm 12.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to be the man of the house, you know, but I had to be, you know. And so
What do you mean had to be? I mean, unpack that for a minute.
I mean, there was nobody else there. There was no other man. She dated a little bit, but nobody really walked into our life.
So there's a strong sense of obligation and responsibility in you.
Yeah.
Not necessarily something you really chose or would have chosen, but yet you knew if you didn't do it.
Right.
Let's paint that scenario for a second, because sometimes that's helpful to even understand how you ended up making some of the choices you made as a kid. Like, what if I don't do this for mom? What would have happened?
I really felt like she needed me to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
Again, 13, 12.
Yeah.
As I went into middle school and high school, I felt like she's stable but unstable.
Yeah.
And I can't be unstable.
Mm-hmm.
This really is a counseling session.
Do you think your relationship with her ever got unhealthy? Was she ever codependent? Was there ever a situation where she was counting on you for more than a mom ought to be counting on a 12-year-old boy?
I'm wondering what my wife's thinking right now.
She just moved up to the microphone because I think she's got an answer for
this. I didn't
this.
Even look over there. Do you notice that? I didn't even want to see what she's going to say. Yeah. I think I know what she's going
to
say.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think the answer to that would be yes.
Yeah.
I think she was so broken, so lonely, so hurting. I remember Dave's stepmom telling me, this is an interesting just side note, that Dave went on the honeymoon of his dad and stepmom, which is
to Europe.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, as a pilot, I could fly free with them.
And, sure.
And she was in the airlines too. And so she said he couldn't sleep by himself. Mm. And she realized that Dave had been sleeping with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, what, 12?
I think I was 12.
Yeah.
You know, sort of funny, I didn't know my dad's on a honeymoon with his new wife.
Mm.
I just thought we're going on a trip. I found that out years later. Because Beata, that's my stepmother, she was like, do you realize that on our honeymoon night, you came walking in our hotel room? I had a hotel room across the hall. Of course, we're in Europe, and I'm scared anyway.
Yeah.
But I go knocking on the door saying, can I sleep in here? And, you know, it's sort of funny now, but that gives you an idea where I was, where they were. And, I mean, I grew up.
And it was like there wasn't anything inappropriate that happened sleeping with his mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it just represented that's what you were used to at that point in time.
Yes.
My comment about your mom is, of course, there was this strong, deeply connected reliance on her son. I don't know how you survived that sort of loss, that Mount Kilimanjaro of loss, without finding something you hold on to. And so, of course, that was the nature of your relationship. And, of course, you felt a great sense of responsibility and obligation to her. And I think sometimes it's easy for us to step outside people's lives and just judge that. What? You were sleeping? Somehow you were overly connected. That's a little bit of God's grace for people sometimes. And when you get behind it and you understand how much loss is in this story, nobody wants more loss. That's one of the things we know about kids in blended families is they don't want more loss.
Hmm.
And yet it seems that sometimes every little turn, every little twist becomes a little bit more loss. So you go with your dad and, you know, you find out, well, that was him investing in somebody else, not really investing in me. Like I'm there, but we're not connected. And so that's an ongoing narrative that gets in the way. And I'm curious about that, your relationship with your dad through your adolescent years. You know, what was that like?
You know, it was pretty non-existent.
Hmm.
He would fly up to Ohio, and I don't know the exact timeline, but I saw him maybe once or twice a year for a day, or really an evening, and again.
And you would fly down at Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, but when he would come up, it would usually get ugly.
Hmm.
He would drink. It would get loud. I'd go hide in the bedroom, wait till it was over, till the storm cleared. So that was my experience with my dad. I remember that in middle school, then high school. And then I hated this. Right after the divorce, 7, 8, 9 years old, I, for whatever reason, had to go see my dad at Christmas. And I would fly to Miami, Florida. Now he's in Miami flying out on Christmas morning. From Winter Wonderland in Ohio to palm trees in Florida by myself. And back then, nobody flew on Christmas Day. So the flight attendants, I could tell they felt sorry for me. They'd let me sit in first class. Nobody on the plane. And they would be assigned to me to take care of this little boy, getting him to his dad's. And I can remember getting in his car, nice car, rich, you know, living the life and looking at these palm trees going, what am I doing here? I don't want to be here. I want to be home. I want to be in Ohio. I want to be, you know, my home at Christmas. And I have to go see my dad for 3 or 4 days. So it was a trip or two. and then Christmas every year.
I'm hearing some of those other big five emotions.
Yep.
Confusion, like, here I am, I have to do this,
right,
but I don't want to do this. And then when I get here, I realize how much he has financially, et cetera, and I'm aware.
And you had nothing back with your mom.
Right. And mom and I got nothing. And what a contrast. And, you know, again, it's because he left us.
Right.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
There had to be some real anger or hurt towards him.
And one of the reasons I blocked having a relationship, I really think he wanted one.
Mm.
And he was doing what he could to do that. I mean, he wasn't there a lot, but when we were together, I could tell. I really did have a sense. He loves me.
Mm.
He really does love me. He wants good for me. Almost a sense, I think he feels bad about what happened, but we never talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you the day we did talk about it. It's an interesting story, but, you know, through high school, through college, till we got married, never once was there a conversation with Dad about the divorce, about any of that. There were many with my mom. Now, she wasn't a mean, bitter, your dad's an idiot type mom. She honored him, but I was confused. I never really understood.
And no trust. You couldn't have trusted your dad, and that's the reason there's no relationship.
Right.
He left when you were seven.
Right.
What are you going to trust him with, with trying to have a relationship with? No, that doesn't make any sense.
And I'm also wondering about loyalty to mom. I mean, how would you have felt if you'd have drawn close to your dad? Like, you know, mom needs me. Mom's relying on me. Like, that would be, in a way, putting her in jeopardy.
Yeah, treasonous.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also felt that when Dad got remarried.
Mm.
I felt like I can't like her because that's a
betrayal. You know,
betrayal to my mom.
To your mom,
And my mom would ask when I would come home, how's Beata? And I'd be like, oh, she's okay.
Yeah, and isn't that interesting? Like, all she had to do was ask what could be a very neutral question on the surface, but it very much isn't neutral.
Right.
In your heart. Like, even if she's not really saying, do you love her?
Right.
You felt like she was saying you love her. And so you're in this love conflict that mom needs me. She's got nothing but me. So I'm definitely favoring here.
We've touched on these five emotions that you talk about. Just list them for us. What are the five?
They're loss and the sadness that goes along with that loss, right? Those are related. Fear. And we've heard that, and we haven't talked about it yet, but it's the fear of more loss, the fear of, in this case, the fear of hurting mom if I enjoy my stepmom, fear of hurting mom if I enjoy my dad and draw close to him. Guilt, this sense of responsibility that you had towards your mom is one example of, boy, I feel guilty if I don't fulfill that responsibility. So it's going to change who I am and how I act and how I live my life. And then the confusion piece of, you know, how do I deal with all this? What does it mean? Why did Dad leave? What does this mean for me and the future of our family and relationships? Just a lot of confusion.
And the booklet, it's really a small book that you've written for kids, helps them unpack these emotions and put names to these emotions so they can go, oh, I'm not abnormal because of the things I'm feeling, and maybe I can even understand what it is I'm feeling and put some categories to it rather than just feeling it.
And as a parent, Ron, is that our responsibility to ask those questions? Is this a counseling situation?
I'm so glad you brought that up because there's a secondary purpose in this booklet. We actually have a parent discussion guide with it so that parents are moving towards the heart of their child, the experience of their child. We want to give the kids words to help them go, yeah, that is what I'm feeling. And we also want to help the parents say, is that what you're feeling? Is this your experience? We give them a few questions, the parents, to ask their child after they read it so that you can move toward their heart. What we're doing here today with Dave is what we would love to see happen thousands of times around the world, one parent towards their own child.
Oh, if this would have been around when I was 10 years old, oh my gosh, there was nothing like this.
Well, and I'm thinking of, and again, this would need to be appropriate, but youth pastors who could engage with kids in their youth group, or children's ministers who would recognize this in their church. Mm. I'm thinking of aunts or uncles or grandparents who go, that family dynamic is so dysfunctional, I don't know that that conversation could be had between parent and child in a healthy way.
And the parents can be so, they're hurting so much that sometimes they can't even get beyond today.
So to have somebody else who's a friend or a family member step in and say, could I just get together and take your son out for ice cream and get a book like this and start to go through it with that young man, that young woman. We've got the Life in a Blender book in our Family Life Today Resource Center, and you can go online to get a copy. The website is familylifetoday.com. And then keep in mind the event that is coming up next month. It's the Blended and Blessed One Day live event. It's going to be live in Minneapolis on Saturday, April 27th. It's going to be live streamed all around the world. You can tune in and be a part of this as a couple, as a church, with your small group. All the information's available online at familylifetoday.com. Again, the date is Saturday, April 27th. Speakers will include Dave and Ann Wilson, Ron Deal, Shanti Feldhahn's going to be joining us. Chris Brooks is going to be with us as well. Go to familylifetoday.com for all the information, or call us if you have any questions, or if you'd like to get the Life in a Blender book, call 1-800-FL-TODAY. So again, the website, familylifetoday.com. The number to call for resources or information about Blended and Blessed is 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Let me just add a quick word of thanks here for those of you who make programs like today's program possible. It's those of you who partner with us as either monthly legacy partners or who will from time to time make a donation to support the work of this ministry. When you donate, you're helping cover the cost of producing and syndicating this program so it can be heard in hundreds of communities across the country and via the internet all around the world. Thank you for your partnership on behalf of all of the people who are benefiting from listening to these kinds of conversations. We appreciate you. And now, before we wrap things up here today, we've got some thoughts on our conversation from the president of Family Life, David Robbins. David?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank Dave Wilson for inviting us into his story and telling his story and sharing it with us, because it just declares how God makes beauty out of ashes. He is a God who's in the business of redemption. Mm-hmm. And the Bible is a book about redemption. And God not only takes broken things in our lives and mends them, but he actually restores them into greater beauty.
Better than new.
Better than new. And so whatever circumstance you find yourself going through in life, specifically today, some of us are probably walking through some hard things. God is at work in the midst of it. And let's turn to him.
Yeah, thank you. Well, tomorrow we're going to talk about the impact of growing up in a home where mom and dad get a divorce, how that impacts a marriage moving forward. We'll talk more with Dave and Ann Wilson about that tomorrow. Ron Deal will be with us again. Hope you can join us back as well. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a CREW ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.